This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast. Radiothon is now on, and we need your support. This is our one time a year that we ask you to support Joy so we can continue being a voice for the LGBTI community of Melbourne and beyond. By becoming a member, renewing your membership, or donating to Joy, you will keep out loud and proud LGBTI voices on air and on podcast, and around 50 volunteers work hard around the clock to make them available. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Then we hope you head to joy.org.au to find out how you can support us this radiothon. We still need Joy. Your voice. Your radio station.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. My name is Dean Beck and a very fine evening to Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, Dean.
Hello.
Hello.
It's been so long.
It has been quite a
Hasn't
while.
Hasn't it been great? It's so good to have you back here with me. It feels like old times.
Well, yes, exactly.
In fact, you were saying earlier how long it has been.
Well, I think I've lost track, but
I think it's six years.
April. I'm thinking April.
You try. Oh, so this
I don't know because I haven't.
Do I have to buy a cake or something?
No.
I'm hopeless at that shit. You know that. But I am pleased to be with you, and it's great to have you, you know, as a part of my life in this way. It's the only time I get to see you. And we don't even speak about it to each other when we're off air. And then we come in here and it's like nothing's ever happened.
Yeah.
Because nothing has.
Tonight
we're going back to school.
We are. And we're going back in time because we had a check before.
Yes.
You mentioned who was on tonight. And I go, oh, yeah, we talked to him not that long ago.
All right.
2013.
Yeah, a little while.
4 years. Over 4 years, I think.
And as a 28-year-old, there's a lot that's changed in his life.
Yes.
But we're talking about a man called Nathan Smith who will join us to talk about life as a high school teacher, which I honestly couldn't think of a tougher job.
Yes, it would be quite tough.
I mean, putting up with those
young adults, youths,
at a very troubling time in their lives, must be a tough gig. He's also come straight from parentage night, poor bugger. So we're looking forward to catching up with Mr. Smith to find out, you know, what safe schools and respectful stuff and all of that looks like in 2017.
Oh, Barry, I am coming for you.
I like your spunk.
Well, you don't have to rub it in.
Inappropriate. You think?
Hide and seek.
Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice with you on the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. Our special guest tonight is Mr. Nathan Smith. I'm going to say good morning, Mr. Smith. He is a high school teacher and he is currently in a Eastern Suburbs high school, public school. But Nathan, welcome to you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You were previously in a regional public high school.
Yep, out to Shepherd and Way.
Shepherd and Way. Tell me what, because you wanted to come out, we've spoken to you about this, but let's refresh that. You've spoken about coming out in the school environment to your kids, and that was important to you. Firstly, why?
Well, originally it was when I first got into teaching, I very much wanted to be myself and just be openly gay, but I wasn't sure how, one, the kids were going to take it, and two, the leadership in the school community were going to support that.
There's a strong Muslim student population at that school.
Yeah, about half the population.
Right. And the process, what did you do again?
I didn't have like a great big coming out ceremony or anything like that. It was, I kind of just slipped it into conversation, I guess. So when they'd ask what my favourite footy team was, I'd say I was more interested in the shorts than the actual game itself or...
Did that get any pushback from some of the kids or what did they think?
Mostly just confused looks.
And in a school environment, was it a case of you were known as the gay teacher or was it just Mr. Smith?
I think it was, no, it never really became a defining feature.
No matter how hard you tried.
Well, it never really featured very heavily in anything I actually did. It was just became very normalised for them.
But your first principal said that he didn't want you to do it.
He recommended that I'd not, based on some outdated information. Mm. But then I had to go and have a look into it myself, and there's actually a wide range of support out there for it.
Can you tell us a bit about that? Like, what when you say support, supporting you or supporting the kids? Or?
Both, actually. So okay. The department have entire documents stating what schools are obligated to do for the LGBTI community in schools, as well as the students, aides, parents, and...
You know, and that's aside from safe schools, all of that sort of stuff. So with these documents that are part of our education system... Why is it not utilised as much, do you think? Or why is it not known? Or why don't people absorb it and it become part of the culture rather than a piece of paper in a department?
I think a lot of it is just outdated information, or especially in that situation it was. But I'm finding more and more that schools are becoming more informed about it and actively trying to support teachers and students in that respect, but it does boil down to a lot of old, outdated information that people just haven't come across.
Your experience from Shepparton to moving to a Melbourne school, tell me what that culture shock was like.
That was lots of different culture shocks. For a start, I think I went from a very low socioeconomic, struggling rural school to one that's much more affluent and very much academic.
Right.
So,
because some of your kids in Shepparton wouldn't have spoken English.
They do.
Well, or at least not their first language very new at it.
Well, most of them had just were new arrivals, so they'd be here for 6 months, have a quick intro course, and then whether they learnt English or not, they were forced into a mainstream school.
Wow.
And so Eastern Suburbs is quite different.
Very different.
As you said, generally affluent, academic achievements important. What are some of the other cultural things that you really picked up moving to the city?
I found, well, particularly where I am now, there's a lot more inclusivity around the LGBT community. BTI community and just what is minorities that, in general, really.
What does that look like?
Well, the school I'm at actually have a programs and support for various minorities in the school, which is actually run and led by the students itself.
Right. Wow.
It's very much built around educating the younger community members in the school and building a culture that carries up.
And so you said that's diversity no matter what, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gender, race, religion, sexuality, gender identity.
I think it's been broadened a lot more, especially with safer schools when it was around.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. I think it was very easy for people to kind of just brand that as, you know, the gay program or brainwashing or something like that in terms of the students. But I think there's been a much stronger push towards inclusivity in general.
You're in a what would have been a traditionally very white middle class school area. I imagine these days the cultural mix is somewhat different to that, but there would be a strong, I would suggest, evangelical, Pentecostal, religious element in that area as well? Or is there a bit of that?
It kind of pops up no matter where you go. But,
yeah, right.
You
know, okay.
Thankfully, in government schools, it's there's workarounds,
yeah. Ways of dealing with it.
Nice way to put it.
Yeah.
Is it a case, so here at Joy, we've got Unicorn Youth, which is on 7 o'clock every Wednesday night, which is a whole, you know, a teacher who brings in young people to talk about their experiences. Certainly back in my day, you didn't have, you know, 14-year-olds.
God, could you imagine in our day?
You hardly even have 18-year-olds coming out or anything like that. In your school, are there young people identifying as, you know, non-heteronormative?
Yeah, absolutely. I found it's become quite a very normal, comfortable thing for them to be openly gay or transgender at school. Even when I was in Shepparton, there was a huge transgender community developing feeling safe enough to be open about that too.
Which is amazing.
Have you got trans kids at your school?
Not off the top of my head, but...
How do you deal with, it must happen, where you kind of know that there is a kid that's struggling with their sexuality in some way, shape or form, or their gender, and you identify it kind of before they identify it. How do you help a child like that? Because if you actually are active in that space, you'll be seen as, you know, recruiting or whatever, but that must challenge you.
I suppose for me, it's just really important to show them that it's okay, that I can be comfortable in my own sexuality, to be just a normal person, an everyday person, that, you know, they don't have to be looked at differently. I certainly don't guide specifically at all, but...
As a gay teacher, though, a teacher who's gay...
he's not teaching gayness.
No. A teacher who is gay. I would suspect that the language you use just in everyday conversation is probably slightly different in the language that a teacher doesn't run around going,
girlfriend.
No. But I think as a community, we probably automatically, I think, adjust our language slightly. You know, use their or instead of he and him and her, or something like that, that is sort of more inclusive.
Maybe I'm just a bogan from the country. I don't know. My language, it's rough at best.
Not bad for an English lit teacher, hey? But you're very passionate about teaching English literature. I mean, I reckon that's a challenge to any kid, regardless of what they're dealing with. But a passionate teacher in a subject that they love, you get that as a student. Mm. And do you feel that with your classes?
Absolutely, yeah. One experience I did have in Shepparton was a girl that had completely no interest in English, no interest in reading, until she got to see the passion I had for it. And after that, that intrigued her. She ended up becoming a nanny in America, studying literature on a scholarship.
That's supposed to be pretty amazing when you hear those stories back.
Yeah, it's that kind of change that teachers have on kids. It's the reason why we keep doing it.
Transforming lives, Andrew. Tell you what, respect is what it's all about. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Wanna see you get nasty. Wanna see you shake it down, babe. N-A-S-T-Y, you nasty boy.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Becker with you. Tonight we're joined by Mr. Smith.
We're getting an education.
We are getting an education.
About time I got one.
Nathan Smith, who's an out teacher in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne in a government school. Nathan, obviously, we hear a lot about nowadays young people experiencing a lot of bullying online. And is it still?
It's not a new thing, Andrew. I can tell you.
No,
right now.
Online is well.
That's a new thing.
Yes. At least 10 years old. back in the day, of course, there was no such thing as online.
We didn't have porn as a 12-year-old back in our day.
It was just in the schoolyard was the bullying, and on the way home from school. How do schools treat bullying nowadays?
I think it's very much about student being student driven. So a lot of the it's student driven.
They just wipe their hands clean of it. Well, don't worry, the kids will take care of it themselves. It'll be fine.
We scaffold, we guide, and we structure. But for the most part, it's
let them run free.
It's a libertarian sort of approach to it.
Every child for themselves.
It's very Darwinian. At the end of the day, you've got three kids left.
Yeah, we kind of just end up with Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, totally.
Particularly at the school I'm at the moment, leadership is very, very important. So we have a lot of the students, particularly the older students in the school, driving and facilitating a lot of that education and support around bullying, and particularly because there's multiple campuses, they can go and educate the sevens and the eights and help them sort of tackle these issues themselves.
Because I'm trying to reflect at different times through this evening about my own schooling.
I can't help it.
Yeah, exactly. It's horrendous. There probably wasn't mentoring between the year levels or anything like that. But, the year levels each were themselves.
Oh, yeah, very compartmentalised. Yes. In fact, they would pick on other year levels.
Yeah. But there wasn't a lot of, up and down, vertical integration, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's changing in school structures. And it's in a lot of respects still quite new in that trying to build a strong and a program around it that's long lasting too.
And is it still the year 9s and 10s that are the troublemakers?
I think it just depends on the year, to be honest.
It's always the year 9s, isn't it?
It used to be for me, but now I'm...
Is it the year 7s nowadays?
Well,
they're getting younger.
Maybe. I don't know, I feel like year 10's always been an interesting one for me. They come in a little bit feral and then kind of grow up all of a sudden throughout the year out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah, well, that's it's a big year, year 10. do you know how you said that integration between, leadership between levels? Do friendships and friendship groups form between levels these days?
Yeah,
like absolutely. Andrew and I were just saying, they certainly didn't back in our day.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do, right.
I think, like you said, it's very much almost a mentoring without formal mentoring, but... yeah, there's a lot of that going through.
So what do the student leaders do to stop bullying? You know, what are some of the practical things they do?
Well, one thing in particular is a lot of events where they can interact socially together and raise awareness for issues. So particularly around, we're at Purple Day, they hold events and raise money, work together to not only put the programs together or the days together, but to run them as well.
And you have got a strong sort of ally culture for LGBTI kids in your school too.
Very much so. I think the majority of students within the program, of any programs in the school, are actually allies and don't identify as gay, lesbian or transgender.
And do they make a stand in that space?
Absolutely. They are the face of it. They're always there
Wow.
to at events and to help plan and to organise.
It's such a foreign concept from my upbringing. Now, you're not a maths teacher, and it was maths that was always the issue for me, but do you insist that your Year 10 boys stand when they read a passage from a book? Because that can be very awkward. That can be very awkward.
I don't think I've never seen anyone do that, thankfully. So.
It was just me and maths then. Well, it's a tough time for kids and random things to happen. Anyway, now, the parent-teacher night, your day you've just had, that sounds very different to what I experienced too. I was never invited. Why? But the kids didn't go when our parent-teacher thing took place. It was a parents-only thing. But they go with their parents now.
Not always, but usually, yeah. It's a team effort, any education that they get. So in order for the teacher and student to work together, the parent has to be on side with that.
It's a very open, transparent system.
It's kind of the point, I guess.
It is 30 years, I guess.
But as you were saying, that the team effort, I guess, as you were saying, really does translate across cultures and cultures of all forms. How do are parents on board with that at the same level, same extent as it seems like the students are nowadays?
I think it very much depends on where you're from as well. Like you're saying, the backgrounds and history and culture that they come with as well. I've found particularly much more in Metro, there's a stronger focus on results, more so than
academic results.
Results than where that can actually help them in everyday life. Often, parents have very different views about what we're going to achieve together. So I think discourse is really important to kind of guide that.
So, is it a case, I guess, that students can teach their parents? Because a lot of what we're talking about is that younger people are not blind to identity, but are accepting of identity, of a range of identities
and gender
across a range of things. And do you think that is flowing up to the parents?
I think it's definitely. Students have a lot more understanding about where they want to go, absolutely, and what their identity is and who they are as a person. But I think there's always going to be that awkward disconnect between parent and child and teacher and student, absolutely, mm-hmm. about who we think they are and how they want to present themselves too.
How does the delivering a course syllabus according to the state guidelines, does that vary much between schools, and what sort of influence do parents have on what they think you should be teaching, that sort of stuff? You've got to tick the box as far as the government's concerned, but what can you get away with that other teachers would do differently?
Each school writes their curriculums and things like that based on the department.
Yep.
But it's, I suppose, looking at strategies that can be used at home to enhance or facilitate for the learning in school.
Now, bringing it back to sex, which I usually like to do, you told me of your teacher, you're being taught, when you were at school, your experience was quite interesting in that regard, around HIV.
We actually had an amazing teacher for humanities who put together a six-month unit on HIV.
Did you get that, Andrew?
No, I didn't get that.
No.
In country Victoria too.
True. Wow. But so can you, have Oscar Wilde in your lit classes, for example?
Oscar Wilde is a mandatory piece of literature.
I'm guessing it's
so you're indoctrinating them now. Yeah.
so as a teacher, do you get to sort of select materials?
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah.
Texts are basic up to us, unless it's the VCE curriculum, in which we're given a list to choose from. It's a choice of the school what text to choose, and we often choose those based on what is going to be most accessible to the students.
Now, we've had a message come through on 0427JOY949, and if you'd like to send a message, please do. But this message says, from a gay maths teacher from another eastern suburb school, one, year eight's the worst level. Thank you, definitely. Two, some state schools are organised in a vertical way using houses, which has been monumental in minimising bullying and having mentoring of senior and junior students. That's interesting. And three, the bullying that occurs between students is not in the schoolyard or even during school hours, and it's a challenge that we face a lot. So it's done either online or outside of the school grounds. Do you have any, it might be a silly question, responsibility in that space?
It's a tricky area. We definitely have some kind of responsibility to help protect students in any setting, really.
But if it's done down at the mall or something, or the shopping centre,
I suppose it comes down to what we know. Yeah, like, right. if we don't know things are happening, we can't help.
I'm just remembering. I think that as long as though, if you were in a school uniform,
they
you were still outside. You were
it?
Inside yep. school rules.
Or catch you smoking a school uniform.
I think when I was at school, we were told go to the other side of the river,
across the river,
across the river.
And just reminded me that the houses thing is interesting, because the houses back in my day were just about sport, really.
Sometimes they still are. I think it's just
or about academic level.
No.
It's still very much around sport. But yeah. I suppose depending on the school, they can use it in a way.
Well, we are speaking with Mr. Smith, getting an education as to what high school is like in 2017. Dean Beck and Andrew, the Apprentice, with you on Hide and Seek.
Hide and seek.
Mr. Smith is in the house.
He is.
Good morning, Mr. Smith. Does kids still do that?
I miss that so much. it's very primary school.
And are you are you Mr. Smith, or is it first name basis?
It's Mr. Smith or Sir if they decide they don't want to learn my name.
Oh,
but
wow.
No first names,
Mr. Smith's too hard.
You'd be surprised. A kid could go an entire year without learning my name if they just call me Sir. Yes.
You know, I used to call my male teacher Sir, but I was the only kid in the class. Of course, that means I got bullied even more. But but yeah, I used to do that. I was just brought up proper. That's all. Now, what were we going to say next, Andrew? You had something on your list.
Well, we can talk about now. Obviously, there's been lots of debate in the media. It's probably quietened down now. There's other things that they're debating.
Not an issue anymore. Dead and buried.
Safe schools.
Christmas Eve, I think they canned that, wasn't it? Just about almost Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Safe schools. Safe schools has been in the news a lot over the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, some people loved the fact that the government took it on board. Some people didn't, not so much.
Now, what was your understanding of what safe schools was?
I suppose for me, safe schools was just that, you know, providing a safe space for not only the students, but also for staff and for parents and families to be more inclusive.
But it was really a framework for a teacher to learn about what a safe school could be.
With resources provided.
Yeah.
I suppose it's almost like the school promising to or giving themselves some kind of prerequisite to actually make a commitment to providing a safe space.
I guess we often hear of the crisis situation where there is a trans kid that is coming out or comes out or something, and then the school has to go into sort of crisis mode to manage that situation to enable a safe space for that child. But in a perfect world, you'd be on the front foot with that sort of stuff, or you would have a culture that just, that is the way it is, would you not?
Oh, I wish it was, but I think it's unfortunately, it's been something that's been a really slow, gradual process in schools to especially just around lack of education around that subject.
And wound back in some cases.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of students and a lot of people still don't know the what that means exactly, to be transgender, to be intersex.
And a lot of parents don't like the bad press or the content or the... the LGBT community. Like, you know as well as we do that none of this is going to affect the outcome of someone's sexuality, but how do you tell parents that?
I suppose it's a bit of a tricky area, I guess. We try and normalise it, I guess, in a way, and let that be something that is coming from the child, not from us.
Are there other similar products,
packages
that are
programs
that support schools to do different things like this?
I think a lot of schools have taken on the similar framework of that, mm-hmm. Of safer schools, and tried to build their own kind of inclusive programs. They look very similar to that in a lot of ways.
But are there other ones for, I don't know, physical health or
the AFL,
other issues?
The AFL called it respectful relationships, as long as you didn't mention the word gay. Is that, in the perfect world, if you just had everyone equal, then everyone was equal, but not everyone's equal.
Lots of schools have different organisations and groups and clubs or support networks for all kinds of different things. I know in particular at our school we have activities just at lunchtimes and things like that.
Because, obviously schools have got a challenge across a whole range of social issues that they probably have to deal with, like child abuse, family violence, and a whole range of things. What are some of the things that you have to do to address those things? Do you, I suppose, is the first question.
Oh, I think that's something that would very much be handled by the wellbeing area within the school.
What does that look like these days? That's a new concept. We had a sick bay, but I think it's very different than what you're talking about.
Yeah, very different. It would be a welfare coordinator that, you know, their responsibility is to promote the health and wellbeing of students in the school.
Provide resources.
Resources, organisations, information.
Wow.
Pass that on to various classes that it's relevant to as well.
Okay.
So the safe schools thing, what I'm hearing is that it really hasn't affected you as a teacher that much.
It's about to. The government's just taken it over. It's going to be yours. Isn't that the deal, Andrew? All high schools?
I'm not sure. Nathan, are you aware of which way it's going?
No, I've...
All high schools by 2018 will be safe schools.
In Victoria?
In Victoria. All public high schools will be... safe schools in Victoria.
Ah, fantastic.
So you will be a safe school whether you like it or not. Andrew, we've had a message come through on 0427 join 949 from our lovely maths teacher who doesn't have issues with 15-year-old boys standing up in class.
That's right. So he was saying, or the teacher was saying...
apologise. Yes, yes. My humble apologies.
The teacher was saying that, we're talking about bullying and whether bullying... outside the school is a responsibility of the school.
Yeah.
Yes, and so the teacher has said that according to the state guidelines and the recently implemented child safety policy, all schools are now responsible for all forms of bullying. So, for example, if students from the same school are bullying each other on Facebook at midnight, the school is responsible and will become involved. So,
Really?
Yes.
We've had another message come through from Teacher Anonymous. Our school, thank you for contributing to the show, we're loving this. At our school, respectful relationships is covered in great detail in years 8 and 9, health education. Teachers are now required to do mandatory reporting. All teachers, not just the welfare coordinator, responsible for information management in schools or the Department of Human Services if they suspect child abuse of students. Well, we understand that. And mandatory reporting is a good thing, but also is appropriate age level sex education, because language, as our English literature teacher would be fully aware, is very important. If you can't put a language around it saying that what is happening to me is wrong, then it's very difficult to complain in that space.
As a literature teacher, Nathan, what guidelines do you have around content?
Censorship. Lady Chatterley's Lover. Yes.
Mm. It's just like movies and films and things like that. They have ratings as well, but it's sometimes it can be difficult to cater the language barriers with age-appropriate content too. So often it's a bit of a juggling act with that.
So what? I'm guessing you have to read the book first and understand whether it's got, you know, penis in the book somewhere and you know what context that's in and all those sort of things.
Well, I guess it's I don't know how
sex
many
sex scenes, all those sort of things.
Implied sex scenes.
Well, you wouldn't really be giving a full on sex scene in a novel or Mills and Boone to Year 7.
I don't remember something like that in 1984.
No, but
often texts will filter down from Year 12. So once they're off the list, we usually bring them down into other year levels.
Okay,
but it just makes sense.
I tell you what, I wish I was going to school now, actually, and I don't think I'd ever say that. But it seems a lot better place and a lot safer space than the one I went to. That's for sure.
Always getting better.
Well, I'm pleased about that. I hope that at the end of the day we have less damaged people at the other end. Because, you know, you end up looking like this.
Nathan, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And good luck to all of our teachers out there. Thank you for our maths teacher.
Yes.
And all of our other teachers, you do a tremendous job. Keep it up, because you are forging our future. Hide and seek on Joy.
So why don't we just fuck?
Hide and seek. Just fuck.
Andrew, did you know that Joy Audio Production Services can help you with all of your audio recording needs?
Well, no matter the task at hand, we have a way to support you and your business.
You know, we can produce radio-style interviews for your website, on-hold greetings, podcast voiceovers, video, and even more.
Call Joy's production manager, Jason, on 1300-JOY-949 or email production@joy.org.au.
What's that number again, Andrew?
1300-569-949.
Joy Audio Production Services. Commercial-grade audio, quality at community radio rates.
Joy 94.9.
Time for us to rack off, Andrew.
It is.
But before we go,
yeah.
Did you know that porn is a very popular podcast to listen to?
Is it? Yes. Oh, yes, that's right. It is.
Because we looked at our podcast figures and you little naughty people out there love listening to porn stars.
Exactly.
Do you what?
Dirk and Jesse.
Tell
you. That one has gone gangbusters.
It's right up there.
Yes.
Thank you for putting us on top.
Big thank you to David for all he does for podcasting.
Thank you, David. And to all you bottoms out there, keep us on top. Thank you for listening to Hide and Seek tonight. I'm Dean Beck.
I'm Andy Prentice.
Till next time, keep well, take care, bye-bye.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.